Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What do effeminate male sweaters... There's a sentence I never thought I'd use. What do effeminate male sweaters and Trinity Evangelical Divinity School have in common? It appears a lot. This is Wretched Radio. It is official. Jimmy, I am no longer snarky.
You're not.
I'm not even close to being snarky anymore, thanks to DISNTR.com.
Dissenter, yes.
Who is this person? He's got a spiritual gift of sarcasm, man. I'm telling you, from beginning to end, he ain't happy about male pastors who wear feminine clothing. Headline, Dear Effeminate Pastor, here's why you're bleeding men. And there's a picture in the article of a number of pastors, high profile men that are wearing clothes a dude shouldn't be found in. How effeminate are they? Well, let's just say if Sean Connery could use his license to kill, he'd probably be taking aim at these guys because, wow, they are that effeminate looking. And because of that, the conclusion from Mr. Dissenter is that real men aren't attending at least this type of church. I suspect real men are looking for something more serious. I think that's maybe even why my Presbyterian friends, at least the American denomination, not USA, America, actually growing. That's right. It's bucking all Protestant trends. And the Presbyterian Church America, it didn't go up a huge amount, but it did go up. Why? Because I think men look at a guy prancing around on stage with a sweater that has puppy dogs and ribbons on it. Hello? And they just don't. We're out. No, thank you. I need something a little bit more earnest. I need something a little bit more serious. I was looking at a video of a preacher. He was doing some big event. And he wasn't wearing skinny jeans, but it was like a 40, 45-year-old guy, and he's in the baseball cap. It's on backwards, and he's got his cool T-shirt and the bracelets around his wrists. And I thought to myself, if anybody listening to this guy preach were to, I don't know, on the way home, be hit by a car, be taken to a hospital, where the emergency room attending physician says, it doesn't look good. Do you want me to call anybody? I don't think he'd be the guy they'd ring up because he's not serious. It's clear. I mean, clothing aside, he wasn't serious, but the clothing speaks. And it basically says, I'm trying to be relatable. I'm trying to be somebody that you can think is not going to be stodgy, judgmental, and critical. I want you to like me. And that is a trend that has been going on for a very long time. But now it appears a number of these guys, man, they're letting their inner girl out. And the clothes that they're wearing, it's like, seriously? Really? And you want people to take you seriously? I think men see guys like this and they say, no, thanks. What do the Presbyterians got? They say... They get up and they don't prance around and they don't look like a girl. And they don't speak softly. And they actually allow for some sharp edges. It's interesting that our trend these days is that we just want to polish everything. Nothing is rough. Nothing. I was actually watching a conversation. I was intrigued by this particular conversation due to what's been going on this week in evangelicalism. It was Mark Dever and Jonathan Lehman having a conversation about how to be convictional without being contentious. That's a tough balance. In fact, sometimes I would even say there is a time to be contentious where you really do put up the dukes. Now, that's the exception. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that we can never be like, hey, sorry, no. That is not something Christians tolerate. And I was watching the conversation with a great deal of interest. And Dever was saying that one of the things that he believes that is lacking in evangelicalism is honesty. That critiquing is always softly wrapped. And he described how, for instance, with his interns, he's willing to say to them, you're better at it than everybody else in front of everybody else. Not to put them down, but to speak the truth and to let the other guys know, hey, there's a standard you should be looking up to. And to the one who was identified as being the best in that particular category, careful, use your gifting. You're very good at this. Now, there's a responsibility that comes with that. And he was very, very earnest about being honest, which doesn't mean you're cruel. It doesn't mean that you try to put somebody down. That isn't godly. But where's just honesty? Where's just speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth? Well, these girly sweater-wearing pastors, they have succumbed to the spirit of the age. And they not only do they dress softly to be charitable, but they never say anything that would ruffle anybody's feathers. Why? Because they aren't there to be faithful to the word. Whatever their motives are, it ain't to be a gospel preacher. Dear effeminate pastor, here's why you're bleeding men. Get ready. Whew. Whew. You stand on a stage, not a pulpit. Beneath theatrical lights, not the burning fire of truth, draped in pastel rebellion and accessorized like a department store mannequin on discount. Okay, actually, I will dissent from Mr. Dissenter. It's not discount. This stuff is expensive. You glide across the platform like a self-help seminar host with a theology degree from Instagram. And you wonder out loud why men won't darken your doorway. Your church has abandoned them. That's, men don't want to go see that. Men, it's not that women aren't, but we're talking about men here. Men are thinking about serious things. They feel the weight of their family, not just financially, not just to provide for their needs, spiritually, safety. How will they grow up? How do we deal with the influence of the world? And out comes Mr. Prancy Dancy, giving you a sermon on like how to have a more positive attitude, dude. Although they probably wouldn't even use the word dude. You've swapped the lion's roar for a kitten's purr, the sword of truth for a feather duster. You've alchemized the radical call of discipleship into a self-help session set to acoustic guitar. Jimmy, we got to find this Mr. Dissenter fellow. Who is this guy? You dress like a gender studies major on laundry day and preach like a man apologizing for the God he claims to serve. You mistake cowardice for meekness. Now, this is the important point here, because are we not called to be meek? Yes. Are we not called to be gentle? Well, we are called to be gentle and meek. But don't be confused. There's a distinction between meekness and cowardice. Cowardiceness is spinelessness versus gentleness. Ambiguity for nuance. And so many of these preachers these days cross that line. You whisper sweet nothings from the pulpit because you're terrified of conviction, allergic to confrontation, and addicted to applause. And that is a plague. It is the spirit of capitulation. It's the spirit of, please, culture, don't despise us. Don't revile us. Don't ghost us. Don't dox us. And that is why there's a relationship here in this particular sarcastic article with Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. For all intents and purposes, it's closing. Now, they would say it's not. They're putting their best face on it. but they are moving their campus from Chicago, relocating over 2,000 miles away in Canada. The beautiful campus, done. You know, there were a lot of great theologians at Trinity, which, by the way, was related to a small old Orthodox denomination, the Evangelical Free Church of America. I think that A.W. Tozer was evangelical. No, he was Christian and Missionary Alliance, CNMA. Evangelical, Evangelical Free, that's Chuck Swindoll. And the professors that were there, at least in the 90s, Don Carson, he ain't no slouch. Wayne Grudem, Harold O'Brien, Douglas Sweeney, the Carl Henry was a visiting professor. John Stott spoke in chapel. And now they're closing down. And the contention of another article, not nearly as snarky, from John Carpenter is the reason, this is the word I'll choose, effeminacy. Not taking a stand. Not being bold, not being biblical, not being willing to take one's knocks. Deets, next on Wretched Radio.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is the mystery solved? This is Wretched Radio at dissenter.com.
I think that's it.
Dissenter. Well, I flipped the page. Dissenter.com. Oh, an eyebrow scorcher. There isn't a non-sarcastic word in the entire article, which means I like that, which means it just makes me look a lot nicer. Maybe that's my motivation. So we're trying to figure out who Mr. Dissenter is. Have you discovered who this person is?
I can't find a last name. I found the name.
There's maybe somebody that could be behind this anonymous critique. Too soon?
Maybe.
Okay.
It used to be Reformation Charlotte.
Okay.
And the only name I've seen is Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, but I don't see a last name.
You've got a gift, Jeff. You've definitely got a gift. This isn't about pastor's pink sweaters, delicate gestures, or cropped pants that scream urgent identity crisis. It's a whole curated aesthetic. The Instagram-filtered sermons, the caffeinated sanctuaries, the emotion-stimulating light shows that make church feel more like a boutique wellness retreat than a battlefield for souls. This is a critique of effeminate pastors. Now, it doesn't mean that they're doing ballet on the stage. Well, maybe not. Hey, that's interesting. Now, Jimmy, this is something. I don't know that your AI machine can help with this. We see churches, these mega churches.
Mm-hmm.
They create these amazing like these Broadway shows. Has anybody done anything? I don't know, classy. Like ballet.
Mm.
Is there a mega church that's ever gone Swan Lake Sunday? Don't miss it. No, probably not, because it's just always like 80s AC/DC Sunday. Are you on a highway to hell? Jimmy, let me know if you find any ballet churches.
Okay.
I will be a little bit surprised. Unless, of course, the pastor's daughter is taking ballet. Then somehow that could get woven into the sermon because, hey, that'll preach, won't it? This article addresses not just the effeminacy of dressing, but of speech and of convictions. And I think the critique, while being rather sarcastic, makes an important point. Men aren't looking for effeminate. Men aren't looking for silly. I don't think serious men are looking for light. And I think a lot of the beta males that attend these effeminate mega churches, they sit, but I think even in their hearts, they must be stirring and asking the question, what am I doing here? Is he my role model? Is he what I want to look like? Is this really going to help me? And is this going to prepare me to die? I know you could make the case that there are a lot of goals that a pastor should have for his sheep, but preparing them for death has to be right near the top, if not on top of the list. I know that's how I feel. On Sunday morning, we all look so happy and healthy, don't we? And it's funny. At our church, did I mention alpharettabiblechurch.org? At our church, I know there are people I see on Sunday morning and truly bless their hearts. You know, they're looking pleasant and they're being affable. And I'm not talking phony. But I know that they've got physical maladies that are like, wow, I don't even know how you got out of bed today. And yet you came to church, you got dressed up and you came to church. I know those things are happening. I know that there are people that are facing very serious health scares. I know that there are people who have been given a timeline. They kind of have a ballpark of when the experts think will be their last day. Will these pastors wearing effeminate sweaters, prancing around, doing Megadeth Sunday sermon series? Really? Is that going to help these people? And that's why I got to tell you, these places, they should stir us a little bit more than I think they already do. I think a lot of us are, we see some of this silliness and we just, it can be like amusing on one level, like, dude, seriously? On the other hand, it's like, hey, wait a second. You are, I think, not representing the one you claim to represent well. Furthermore, all of those people out there are being made into merchandise. That should stir us. That should cause us to be a little bit... Concluding the article from Mr. Dissenter, you don't want men, Pastor, not real ones. You want docile, agreeable, emotionally delicate eunuchs. Men who ask permission to lead their families, apologize for existing, and nod along to your diluted gospel-like interns at a yoga retreat. You want the kind of man who quotes Brené Brown. I don't know what a Brené Brown is. I'm not cool enough for that. Shops at Anthropology and thinks Paul was a bit too assertive. But the world is choking on weak men. Families are gasping for fatherhood. Classrooms are cluttered with boys trained to apologize before they speak. And into that crisis walks you. With your sermon series titled Feelings and your fog machine set to safe mode. It's not just churches that are having an identity crisis. Institutions are dropping like flies. And it comes underneath, I think, the banner of we've got to be gentle and meek. Now, I do think that there is a need for gentle and meekness. I think we can identify some that are just too brazen, perhaps. So and furthermore, we're to model Jesus, who was gentle and meek, but that doesn't mean sissified. It doesn't mean soft and capitulating. It doesn't mean, oh, well, we just won't speak up because we don't want anybody to, okay, we'll allow that onto our campus because some might make somebody feel bad. That isn't being gentle and meek. That's being compromised. Let me take you to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Now, this is one man's observation because he attended the school. His name is John Carpenter, asking, why did Trinity Evangelical Divinity School fail? Now, over at the Gospel Coalition, Colin Hansen, who's the editor-in-chief, he wrote an article saying, I think I can tell you why. Two reasons. One, lack of ample endowments. Two, insufficient financial support from a large denomination. Was it really a financial issue? Or at least, was it totally a financial issue? This man recounts when he was back on campus at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, somebody posted for an event about Christians for Biblical Equality. In other words, evangelical feminist propaganda. He decided before Babylon Bee even existed to post something that was kind of Babylon Bee to make fun of it, to parody it. From the article, it was taken down immediately and caused a tempest in a seminary teacup. Soon during a chapel meeting, professors chided such boorishness and advised us all that above all, note, not that we defend the clear, repeated, and emphatic statements in God's words about men headship, male headship, or how feminism inevitably undermines the authority of Scripture. No, above all, be nice. His commentary, TED's, was undone by its refusal to take a stand, its commitment to third wayism, and its tacking to the middle. When you attempt to walk down the middle of the road, you get hit by traffic coming from both directions. Now, perhaps motivation is well-intentioned, but execution of walking down the middle road, there are some times to walk down the middle road, but when it's clear in the Bible, there's no middle road. There's no third way. We must strive to speak truth in love. It ain't easy. We must find the way to model Jesus rightly, who was gentle and lowly, but he was also a bold lion who tipped tables and who denounced the work-righteous religious system of the Pharisees. Concluding from this particular perspective on Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Believers want their institutions to be bold when the Bible is bold. Amen to that. And we're not trying to be unnecessarily divisive, but to be bold. Ted's, however, tried to be all things to all people, and in the end, became nothing. This should teach us all a lesson for the future. Indeed, it should. We need to work hard at making sure we don't cross any line, whether it's the line of being too brazen or the line of being too soft. We must speak truth in love. And it is much better to struggle with finding that balance than to lose one's balance, go the third way down the middle road, and get hit by traffic on all sides. And besides, proof is in the pudding. It just ain't working. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, Major League Baseball has finally acknowledged what death makes obvious. Even the most severe punishments can't last forever. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred announced this week that Pete Rose and shoeless Joe Jackson will be removed from baseball's ineligible list, potentially opening their path to the Hall of Fame. And the decision reminds us that while justice does indeed matter, mercy eventually has its day. Religion remains under siege in our universities as Columbia stands accused of targeting a Catholic student for simply stating his faith. The student's offense? Social media posts declaring God doesn't teach us that we can change our gender, and also questioning gender ideology in a conversation with a Catholic friar. Meanwhile, the Episcopal Church has abandoned principles of compassion by refusing to resettle white South African refugees, explicitly citing its commitment to racial justice. The church is terminating its government resettlement agreements rather than help the people that President Trump extended refugee status to amid concerns of racial discrimination and land confusion. You could say that maybe some churches are more committed to progressive politics, but that would just make it sound like the Episcopal Church is actually a church. It is not. And speaking of Trump, the administration continues dismantling the taxpayer-funded infrastructure of progressive activism. HHS has canceled a $538,000 grant to a notorious abortion researcher whose study has been used to justify abortion for years. The administration also stripped Harvard of an additional $450 million in federal funding, bringing total cuts to nearly $2.5 billion. The Joint Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism cited Harvard's failure to confront the pervasive race discrimination and anti-Semitic harassment plaguing its campus. The response of Harvard rebranding its DEI office to Community and Campus Life while suing in order to keep the government money flowing without oversight. To India now, where there's a stark reminder of abortion's victims beyond the unborn. A 23-year-old student died from excessive blood loss after being coerced into a chemical abortion by her professor, who did not want his new wife discovering their affair. The 45-year-old assistant professor now faces murder charges. Despite abortion industry assurances of the pill's safety, studies show chemical abortions are four times more dangerous than surgical ones, with 6% of women requiring emergency room visits. Yeah, when the abortion activists talk about choice, they rarely mention those pressured into decisions that end two lives instead of one. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our Confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not to brag or anything, but you know, some radio programs, they will offer one disaster. Not here at Wretched Radio. Two disasters for your consideration. Disaster number one. It turns out Jimmy was wrong. Asked him to go searching the internet machine for churches that do ballet services. And he actually found a couple.
I did.
But not, they weren't all really ballet. It was more like modern dance. And you know, but one of them is actually ballet. You can tell the two young ladies up on the stage with no Christian imagery, by the way. And it's very moodily, very dark, with a couple of stringed instruments to the side. They are going to do the blessing. At this is for Sunday morning church. The blessing is the name of the song. I'm going to assume that's maybe the song, but it's hard to know because there were no lyrics. Are you being blessed by it? Is this edifying your soul? Is this communicating glorious truths about our God and King? Well, I use your imagination some more. They're doing ballet on the stage, and it's got a mural behind them of looks like tiger lilies. Well, she's up on her toes. Are you being encouraged? Are you worshiping? No, you're watching a show. That's what this is. So indeed, a church actually decided to go a little upper brow and do ballet. And it's intended to be the blessing. But what does this have to do with the worship service? If your church wants to host ballet night, knock yourself out. But these two girls, and they look rather talented, actually, that are dancing around with music playing. I don't know the lyrics to it, so I can't even imagine what they are. It means nothing. I'm watching a show. And that is exactly the problem with these types of things. The thing underneath the dealy. I don't want to get all technical on you, but where it describes what's happening, it's 187 views from 3 years ago. It's helping people know Jesus better. This is the vision of this church. How does this help anybody know Jesus better? What this does is it encourages people to come and watch a show. And then maybe they'll stick around. Maybe they'll hear some truth and maybe they'll become a Christ follower or at least keep regularly attending and filling up seats. Why do we need these types of things? The answer is we don't. But they are used because, in my opinion, it reflects a lack of confidence in the Bible, which leads us to disaster number two. Get ready. This is going to be a mess. Hey, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
You sound a little skeptical of what's going to happen here. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
Can't even mock enthusiasm at this point. Dude, after the program, ho-hos and ding-dongs. Well, we're going to have ho-hos and ding-dongs in the studio. Would you please come into the studio afterwards for ho-hos and ding-dongs?
Okay.
Okay, that doesn't excite you. Tell me, what does excite you, Jimmy? Give me a food.
A food that excites me. Ribs.
Oh, that's right. By the way, for real, we really have zero interest in barbecue recipes. Jimmy went to the Smoke Jack restaurant in Alpharetta.
Yes.
And you said their brisket is the best.
Their dry ribs are pretty good.
The ribs. Okay, what did you think of their brisket?
It's okay.
Yeah, see, there's two types of brisket that they offer. One is the lean, and the other one is the delicious. But it was a wee bit on the fatty side,
mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, there was some good eating. But you like their barbecue ribs better, which is great because guess what?
That's what we're having.
A Smoke Jack barbecue rib.
Nice. Dry
rub ribs or whatever it is that you... Yeah. So will you please come in here?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay. If you turn off your earbuds right now because when he gets in here, I'm gonna read him something from this Kleenex box. It's a Puffs Ultra Soft. It says soft and cushiony, and you should see the pretty colors on it. And I want him to look at the Puffs Kleenex box, and then I'm going to read to him all the glorious details, like 124 two-ply facial tissues, 21.3 centimeters times 20.8 centimeters. I got him. And you say, well, hold on a second. Didn't you have confidence that he'd want to hear you read the Puffs Kleenex box? And I would say, no, I didn't. So I tried to lure him in with ribs. And then I'll give him the Puffs Kleenex box. That's what's going on in these churches that put on performances. They don't have confidence in the Bible. They don't think it's interesting enough. It's not compelling enough. It's not helpful enough. It's not relevant enough. It's not powerful enough. So we need to put dry rub barbecue sauce, whatever that is. Is that how it works?
No. Those are the two opposite things, dry and sauce.
Yeah. Well, like that matters these days. So the words are, it's a total oxymoron. Hello. We've been postmodern now for a number of decades.
Your truth is yours.
Hey, look, I like up down.
What's up down?
It's up down.
Okay.
It's up, it's down. Same thing. Doesn't make any difference. Whoa, unto those. I don't think that maybe it's a lack of confidence in their own ability to preach. Maybe they don't want to do the hard work of grinding as a pastor in a community, going out to meet people, to visit people, to spend time, to approach people, to invite people, and then to get in the pulpit and preach, maybe even to a sparse crowd. But if you're a faithful preacher, they will come. Real Christians will find you. Furthermore, if you're being evangelistic, you're going to be having the best kind of church growth. And that isn't just sheep swapping. It's conversion growth. That's the best type of growth. Hey, look, people change churches. I get that. I that's understandable. So that's going to happen. I don't think that that's some sort of like critiquable sin. But what we should be really striving for is to go to the highways and the byways to compel people to come into the kingdom and then become a part of a local church, whether it is yours or another good one down the street, assuming, of course, you have two good churches in your town. That's great church growth. And I suspect these pastors, they don't want to be that patient. It's interesting. Okay, you didn't ask, but Alpharetta Bible Church, are we growing? And the answer is, if I had to guess, I would say yes. Numerically, are we growing? Yes, I think so. Because I don't count heads and I don't ask for numbers. But it kind of looks like it from the pulpit as I observe. It's like, yeah. Is it explosive growth? No, it's not. Is it Stephen Furtick-like growth? No, it's not. Because we put together a service that's literally... Hold on a second. Jimmy, can you? Hold on. I had to reach over into the garbage. I actually just threw this away. But here, this is from philosophical-theology.com, titled Evangelicalism and Rhinos, Reformed in Name Only, A Different Religion. And this article, this particular paragraph popped. Within evangelicalism, there is little regard for how the church fits into the historic Christian landscape. Now, ask yourself a question. If you're a part of leadership at your church or you were involved in structuring the worship for your church, was this question even considered? Did you even ask, hey, how's it been done before? Why did they do the things that they do? Consequently, evangelicalism pairs nicely with non-denominational churches that are not bound by Protestant confessions and catechisms. Given such ecclesiastical latitude, downstream from doctrinal independence is an absence of the church's historical liturgies. Instead, we're replacing them with more of a revivalistic feel on Sunday mornings. And I think the other big tradition is life enhancement presentations, that where they're amusement centers, hoping that maybe at some point they'll trip into something biblical. Maybe they'll read a Bible verse if there happens to be one in the lobby, although a lot of churches don't put up Bible verses. A lot of churches don't want to put up crosses. What's about this? Ready for this? There's a church that points north right down the street from us. They didn't want to put in a cross because, well, kind of offend some people. No! The cross! Get out of town! That we can't have that then. That's exactly what the cross is. It's a scandal. And churches, they don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. And they really have nothing to offer to them. So what do? They put on a show. And they follow no regulative principles whatsoever. And the results, I got to tell you, if there's any sheep inside of those churches, they're really, really skinny. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio, bringing you the latest celebrity entertainment news that's sort of Christian. And we might even make an allusion to the Bible and then laugh really obnoxiously and call it Christian Morning Radio. I think I hit it, Jimmy.
Did you?
I think, yeah, yeah, that worked. I mean, it wasn't like bang at the end of the post, but it was at a little break there. Okay. So I think I killed that one. Now you're really killing it for real. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, what'd you think of my Puffs illustration?
It was wonderful.
Is that pretty good?
I was pretty disappointed that there were no ribs, but
that's interesting, isn't it? That you would come in and you'd go, hey, wait a second. You mean the real reason you wanted me to come to the ballet show was because you wanted to read the Bible? You wanted to convert me? It's a bait and switch. Mm. And people, if they're actually thinking, are going to go, wait a second. You think that you're going to amuse me into changing my worldview? What an offensive thought that somebody apparently... The mega church that puts on these silly performances and shows and escapades and Broadway and all of the movie AC/DC stuff, I don't think it has a very high opinion for the people that they're trying to win. As if these people haven't spent any time thinking about life and death. As if they've never pondered anything deeper than what's on Gilligan's Island this week. Okay, that was a dated reference. I'm talking about the channel that just does the repeats of Gilligan's Island. So the reference was crisp is what it was. These people have spent time thinking. Maybe they've got a religious background. Maybe they come from a different world religion altogether. And you think that you're going to lure them in, put on a fifth-rate performance, and have them change their mind? Ooh. Not only do I think that that is actually has a very low view of people. I understand that unregenerate people, when it comes to lostness, that they're foolish in their heart. I get that. But it doesn't mean that people are idiots. It doesn't mean that they're nincompoops. Their wiring is off when it comes to issues like religion and morality. But that doesn't mean these people are ill-educated or never give any sort of consideration to a deeper thought. Why do we think we're going to trick them by putting on a performance, by kicking a Bible on Super Bowl Sunday? Yeah, that's going to get them. Jimmy, I've got the entertainment celebrity. Did I do that? Okay, we got that already. There are two songs that hit the Billboard Hot One. That was supposed to be Casey. Take two. There are two songs entering into the Billboard Top 100 at number 40, Hard Fought Hallelujah.
Yeah. I don't always.
Yeah, what?
That's the first word of the song.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't always feel it. Yeah, but that's when I need it the most. So I'm going to keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. There's times when my hands go up freely and times that it costs. Uh-oh, there's days...
Jimmy, what's wrong? Are you okay in there?
Yes, I'm
good. Is there somebody at the door you don't recognize?
No.
Did the computer break?
Uh-oh, not uh-oh. There's days when a phrase comes out easy. Days when it takes all of the strength I got. I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, been through beep, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn sail, story to tell, hallelujah.
Okay, now, why did you beep that particular word, which is an actual place? It is an actual place.
Uh-huh.
And so like any other town or any other place, and I was going to use one, but I just realized that I'd be comparing that town to hell. So I couldn't win with choosing any town to compare to the actual location of hell. It's like heaven. We capitalize heaven. Hell is an actual destination. But I don't think that we should be using it. Okay, we could debate this over dinner, but I don't think that we should be using a word that the world typically hears as a curse word.
Mm-hmm.
And so to use any sort of derivation of it, or even to use it as a descriptor of something really horrible, I personally just wouldn't. Would I say that you're a heretic if you do? Probably. Continue, Jimmy.
Okay. Because God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious, faithful, whatever I'm feeling or facing. So I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, it is well, hallelujah.
Hmm.
Whoa-oh.
Oh, okay. So hold on. Hold on. See, I was actually going to say, clearly this isn't a worship song because it only had one oh-oh. But apparently there are more.
There are a few more, yeah.
All right, let's have it.
That was it. Hallelujah.
No, oh. No, give me the O's.
Let's see.
Whoa, oh, oh.
And then hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What is going on?
That's what it says then at the end.
Did you get hit in the head? What happened to you? It's,
you know, hallelujah.
All right, Jimmy, give that song a theological grade.
3, 4. Okay. Four.
What it's school not, did you go to that they use numbers to grade you?
I see what you're doing. Okay.
Okay, do it with me. A, B, C,
yes.
D. Because, well, I know you're from Tennessee, so just wanting to make sure. I might as well have used Tennessee to contrast it with that other destination, because now everybody from Tennessee ain't digging me right now.
All right, so I'd give it a C.
Okay, why a C?
It's not great, but it's not horrible.
Okay, so on the level of maturity, sure, it's not super high, but I just didn't see anything really wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
Now, I understand somebody might go, but it doesn't have the gospel. But I don't know that a Christian song does. Singing about Christian things, I don't think that that's a crime. And so while this song might not be my particular cup of tea, I just don't know that I would have anything where I could say that was wrong, that was a problem. I would say this, though, because I care. I would say this to the people who wrote it. If you want lots of royalties, you got to get this thing sung in church as a worship song. So you need to add more O-O's to it. And then, get ready for that. All right. Song number 2, Your Way Coming In.
There you go.
At number 62, Your Way's Better.
When I'm overwhelmed within from the weight of all my sin.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what word did you use?
Sin.
Oh, all right. Now that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you're going to have a song about sin, it would lead, wouldn't it, toward how is that sin dealt with? The weight of my sin? How can I get it lifted? Let's listen together, shall we?
I need a friend to call my own. I need a house to call my home.
Yeah, see? Now it just took a turn. It didn't say anything wrong, but it moved from weight of my sin to feeling kind of like I'm a rhinestone cowboy riding out on the horse in a star-spangled rodeo all by myself. Okay, that didn't exactly work, but it was a decent Glen Campbell reference if you're into Glen Campbell. All right, so we went from sin to feeling lonely.
That's right.
All right.
When I'm broken down inside and there's nowhere else to hide, I need a place where I feel known. Can someone help me? And then I hear your reply, bringing teardrops to my eyes, saying, I'm not alone. Oh, Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the world till my head hurt just to find out your way's better. Your way's better. Oh, Lord, your way's better. Jesus, your way's better.
There is a, there's a pretty big part of me that would like to be critical of that, but I really, other than taking a turn, and perhaps, now this is getting pretty, this is picky, but just hang in there with me because I'm not intending to nitpick this, but other than saying, okay, I actually am intending to nitpick it, otherwise I guess I wouldn't be saying it. The point is to talk about sin and then your lonesome heart, that's not the big problem with sin. That's an effect of sin. The problem with your sin and dealing with the weight of your sin is found in Jesus. So other than that kind of, you know, potential like confusing that I've got a God-shaped hole in my heart, I can't, Jesus is better. His ways are better. He does welcome us. He does make us feel not estranged. So Jimmy, I don't think that I could you criticize that song?
Not probably, but I mean, it's not horrible. Again,
I don't think it's horrible at all.
Yeah.
Look, just art. How much theology needs to be packed into a Christian song? And I would say whatever the theology level is, it just needs to be accurate. That to me is the much bigger issue. I think coherence is super important, but even when a song maybe takes a little bit of a left turn and doesn't like follow through with the original premise, I didn't hear anything that was horribly wrong about that. So guess what? Congratulations. That doesn't make all contemporary worship music praiseworthy, but congratulations. We've got two songs that are on the Billboard Hot 100. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.